Good morning. You're listening to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is John Ball, who's managing director with Stiefel Nicholas. John, how you doing?
Great. Good to be on, Kemp.
Yeah, good to be with you. It's that time of the year. We've now had all of the publicly traded flooring companies report in for the end of the year and for the fourth quarter. Things are looking a little bit more optimistic as I go around and travel and talk to people in the business. I guess before we get into the companies, your premise on the market so that we can tell whether some of this is share shift or not. Our premise is that for 11 versus 10, the market from a revenue perspective was up about 3%. Is that what you think?
Well, yeah, I don't have hard data on all the categories yet. Certainly some of that was inflation, so the unit growth was minimal, if any. But that's better than going down, which we've been doing for, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. So that's certainly a positive. Mix continues to, though, be a pressure point, I hear. You know, we're still, what we're selling is, you know, generally speaking, lower-end goods. Raw materials has been a pressure point. So I think there's certainly a lot more optimism heading into 12 with a little bit of a gain in 11, but I don't think anybody's holding a victory party yet.
No, that's right. And as you say, when you say mix, there's a lot being sold at the commodity level, so you can move a lot of units and not make much money in that area.
Yeah, and I don't have hard data, but it seems like the home centers have picked up some share of retail floor covering and probably lower commodity price points. So that tends to be a trend we've seen in this down cycle, people trading down with constrained budgets, and that continued, it looked like to me, in 2011.
But almost everybody you talk to says that there's pent-up demand. They've identified it out there. They just don't know if the gates are going to open up with the consumer, right?
Well, and housing is a great example of that. I think the sentiment within the home builders has really improved. And I guess when you're in an industry that goes down 80%, Kemp, and all of a sudden there's an uptick in orders and backlog, that will change your mood. And I think that's what we've seen. While we certainly welcome the new construction, it's a minority share of the floor covering business, and it seems like the multifamily construction is going to come back more aggressively than single family. And, of course, they're roughly half the size in units and, of course, generally lower price point, lower mix goods. So, you know, I think relative to where we've been, there's an uptrend here. We've hit an inflection point, and I think that's important. And you can certainly see, by the way, the stock market's trading most of these names, some enthusiasm, in front of what I call a fundamental recovery yet at this point.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Mohawk. Just from my perspective, looking at year-over-year numbers, pretty healthy growth at 6% from a revenue perspective, and now they're back up to about a $5.6 billion company. Why don't you get into the details with us about their earnings?
Yeah, I think that the summary on Mohawk is spending capital. You can see their capital spending's up now. A lot of those are facilities around the world, not necessarily the United States, and aggressive in the marketplace. So we're seeing pretty good revenue, both volume growth, but we're not getting as much price as we'd like. Raw materials are pressured, and mix has still been an issue. So we're seeing, frankly, disappointing margins in all three of their segments, laminate, ceramic, and carpet, but we're starting to see volumes go up. So presumably their share position is improved in some of these categories, but we need mix to stabilize or preferably go up, and then we need these raw materials to stabilize so we can get some margin back.
Yeah. Talk a minute, because when you start looking at their earnings, there were some unusual items in it that kind of sometimes muddies the water. In reality, their earnings after those unusual items were a little bit off from the year before, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of noise. But you know, there's foreign currency in the revenue, there's charges. I think the way I would look at it is if you just looked at the growth of volume, you would have expected to see more growth in earnings, and you didn't, because raw materials have outpaced price increases and mix generally has been a negative. So those are the things holding them back. You know, one would think that if volumes improve appreciably, that mix will also improve. I'm not going to forecast raw materials very near term, unfortunately. It looks like they could go up again.
I interviewed Frank Peters, retiring president from Mohawk, yesterday, and he said one of the most frustrating things during his tenure was these inability to raise prices to compensate for raw material pricing.
Yeah, I don't know if Frank would have more insights than I would on that, but it seems to me that it's a timing issue. We ultimately get some pricing, but it's later, and we've just had constant raw material increases, so you never get in front of it.
Right.
In other words, we haven't been able to go 12, 18 months where raw materials are flatlined and allowed pricing to sort of catch up. So, you know, that's why the recent spike here in oil could prove to be yet another near-term hurdle.
All right. Well, and that's a whole other conversation as to what's causing that. But let me just ask you, as you look at Mohawk and you look at the different divisions, you look at the different markets they serve, what are some of the bright spots?
Well, SmartStrand is certainly working and helping offset the mix shift to lower-end commodity polyester. It seems to me, based on their numbers, they've picked up a little bit of sheer carpet. In ceramic, they've had some pretty good unit growth there. They've got good commercial exposure in the ceramic segment. Commercial has held up reasonably well. I'm excited about their plant coming on in Mexico. You know, on the Unilin side, I guess a positive to me is that Europe didn't drag them down as bad as I thought it might. They're demonstrating their position in high-end laminate in Europe holds up fairly well. Certainly Europe's under immense pressure right now as a marketplace. They've been hurt in Europe in some of the non-flooring categories, where you're dealing with more commodity products, you know, the laminates on furniture and the roof truss business and some non-laminate flooring businesses have been a drag for them.
All right, well, let's switch to Armstrong. They're up 3.4%, which is about what the market is from a revenue perspective. So basically, I guess they're just kind of tracking with the market, aren't they?
Well, I think the story at Armstrong, and, you know, if you look at the year, Wood didn't think they had a tough first quarter on a revenue comparison, but the performance and earnings out of the Wood segment was dramatic. I believe they went from adding back adjustments, a slight loss position in EBIT in 2010 in Wood to a, you know, 40-odd million EBIT profit. There's like a $50 million swing there on marginal revenue increase. So that speaks to the cost reduction efforts that have been underway there. I believe as a corporation, they've eliminated to this point about $150 million of costs. That's in ceilings as well as floorings. So really manifests itself there in the Wood segment. You did see it in vinyl, largely because we've had more raw material price pressure there going up. Lumber costs have actually dropped, which partially helped the Wood segment EBIT. And then we've had issues with the European flooring and the Wood business, of course, is just domestic. So the vinyl category has lagged the Wood in terms of margin performance. But no, it's tough. I mean, we're not really seeing top-line growth in the vinyl category, and we're seeing low to mid-single digits in the Wood right now, and I think that's with some share gain.
But they're back in the black, and it looks like they've cut some of their more expensive processes out of their mix.
A number that I thought was something to focus on a consolidated revenue basis in 2011, they grew the top line approximately 1%. Mm-hmm. And their EBITDA grew 24%. It tells you what they're doing in terms of cost.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's go to Interface, a company that focuses mostly on modular and mostly in the commercial sector. They grew about 10%, right, for the year?
They had a good year. It was a kind of tale of two halves. First half was great. Second half, not so great. Yeah, we saw Australia slow, and we saw Europe slow fairly dramatically. They held up better in the United States in education than I thought they would. Corporate office remained pretty healthy throughout the year, although we saw a little weakness there in the second half. But it was a good year. But again, I think they liked the way they started the year versus the way they ended it.
Is that counter to what we've seen with some of these other companies?
Hard to say. We don't. You know, see Shaw's numbers. Mohawk won't break out their numbers on tile. I think both those companies saw growth. They're primarily U.S. plays. They don't have the European exposure that Interface does, number one. Number two, I think Mohawk is, you know, diving into price points and opening up markets in carpet tile that Interface probably doesn't even compete to get. So, you know, a little hard to tell on the front, but no arguing that the commercial slowed second half versus first half. I think that's a given. I don't think it went negative, but the rate of growth slowed. I think it ties back to the concerns that you know all too well about the European crisis, rising oil prices, fears midsummer last year we might go back into recession, so far proved unfounded. But all of those fears, I think, impacted the momentum of the business in the second half commercially.
All right. So just a real quick summary before we run out of time. You've talked about this inflection point. You feel like that we've probably reached an area where we're going to continue to see growth. Your outlook for 12 is pretty positive.
Who knows? A lot of things can happen. But my hope is that this begins the first year of a 3 to 6 year march upwards. Now, the rate of that line is debatable, but we have seen a massive downturn in most of these end markets that seems to have played out, and a lot's going to hinge on home prices and consumer incomes, and we've got a political battle we got to fight through this year with the election. Maybe near term we're going to have to fight our way through $4 plus gas. I don't know, but I'm thinking that 12 will be up from 11 on units, residential in particular. And that might be the beginning of 3, 4, 5 years running of we hope accelerating unit volume gain, which ultimately, as I said, should pull through mix. But time will tell, but I think we've halted the slide. Those that have survived are going to make it, and hopefully we can start repairing margins as volumes expand.
Okay, great, John. Good to talk to you again. We've been talking to John Ball about the publicly traded flooring companies. He's managing director at Stifel Nicolaus, and you've been listening to Kemphar and FloorDaily.net.